Last time we had opened up his Mavo Katzar, his brief introduction to Tefillah. And we had seen last time two images he painted for us. He sees the agadic aspect of a halachic Gemara in Bava Kama, Daf Gimel. Mava is a ha'adam. Daven is an inherent definition of what it means to be a human. And we had laid out for us that image of taking a train ride, or taking a plane ride, or a car ride for that matter. Right? Where you're looking out the same window, but what you see through the window keeps changing. It's the same window. But as your perspective changes, as your location changes, the same window shows you new things. As you move through life, certainly from year to year, from decade to decade, and even from morning to afternoon, different stuff going on in your life. You're going to have experiences of the course of this morning. And you'll be looking at the world with new glasses. There'll be new things to think about when you come to the Mincha. I think we had spoken last time about the Sefer HaKuzri, seeing Tefillah both as the pre-Hazman. It represents the fruit of the last chunk of time gone by since last time we davened, and also sets you up for the future. Now we turn a page and turn a corner. He's going to introduce us to a very, very beautiful and famous Reb Chaim. He's going to give us a little bit. If last time was Agada, this is very much halachic, and yet there's profound machshava within this lamdus. The Mahusa Tfilu, here we are, if you're following along, the bottom, very bottom of page Chav Zayin. Maybe we focus on page Chav Ches. Mahusa Tfilu, Madir Rabbeinu Chaim Halevi Bichidushav, Sheishnei Dine Kavana Betfilu. A very, very famous and beautiful Rav Chaim, Hilchas Tfilu Perek Dalet, in the Sefer and Rambam. I imagine a number of you guys have seen this in the past, or heard about it in the past. The two demon Kavana. Yes, no, maybe. No. He has a teretz for Tosfos Kasha. Tosfos has a steer in Gemaras between the brachas daf lam and brachas daf lam adalid, whether kavana is critical throughout all of Shemona Esrei, or is kavana ideal throughout all of Shemona Esrei, only critical in bracha rishona. So Tosfos says it's not a stira. One Gemara is explaining the other. The first Gemara just said daf lam and the kavana is critical. It didn't give you all the details. And then four blah later, Daf Lamed Daled, the Gemara explains the details. We say critical, it's ideal throughout Tefillah. We say critical, Ma'akev, it's only the first Bracha. But Reb Chaim points out the problem. Ra'ah says not exactly the same, but something along those lines. The problem is that the Rambam quotes the two Gemaras independently. So he clearly thinks that each one, the two taught two different things, Reb Chaim points out. And clearly the Stira is not resolved, the Tosfos resolves it. So Reb Chaim suggests, is the Rambam didn't think the two Gemaras were talking the same thing, nor did he think the two Gemaras were arguing with each other that he would pass like one and leave out the other. He understood that the two Gemaras are talking about two different types of Kavana. When we say Kavana, to have Kavana in davening, usually I think what we think about is what the words mean. And to have Kavana in davening means you say Rifaini, you're thinking about people you know who are sick. You're sick, I'm sick, he's sick, she's sick. Or daven for you've encountered people who are unhealthy, so you daven for the continued health of people who are healthy. Right? But that's kavana bar refaenu. Kavana bar refaenu is for financial success, for financial stability. People should find a job. People should keep a job. Be in a better position. So that's usually what we think of when we say Torah kavana is to think about what you're talking about, which is certainly an admirable thing. But Reb Chaim suggests is not the primary kavana. That's kavana number two, which is ideal throughout, but only critical in the first bracha. Kavana number one, he says, if you actually read the Rambam inside in Perek Dalet, kavana number one, a kavana shel masa hatfila, shehi ha'amid lefnei Hashem. The core kavana is to be aware of what it is that you're doing, and that is communion with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to be aware of the fact you're talking to God. You could, and if you read Reb Chaim slowly and carefully, sounds like you could know that you're davening and not know that you're davening. Whereas if you think that davening is reciting, you could be aware of the fact you can't show you recite a text, you daven for X and for Y and for Z, but you weren't cognizant of the fact, I'm talking to Kadosh Baruch Hu. I'm doing what I have to do. I said all the words I'm supposed to say. I thought all the thoughts I'm supposed to say. But you're unaware of the fact that you're face-to-face, you're sitting down for coffee with the Kaddish Baruch Hu. We spoke about this a couple weeks ago. So So he says, then you haven't been. That's the essence of tefillah. That's kavanah number one, amilos nei Hashem. And then number two, din kavanah shel pirush amilos. To think about what you're talking about. And he says, turning the page, let's let that sink in a little bit. Ma'aseh ha'tefillah amod lefnei Hashem. The core act of tefillah is not to recite. The core act of tefillah is to be in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mavil ma'od. It's wild. I get to be in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu three times a day. You get to be in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu three times a day. Yelad bar mitzvah. Karan eschayv. Mitzvah narazu. It's wild. To meet with someone of a human being of power, a human being with great influence, a sort of meeting could take days, weeks, months to organize. You prepare to meet with the CEO of your company, to meet with the senator. You're going on NORPAC. They're going to have people meeting. I think they have all 535 offices that can be visited this coming round. I know APAC, at the policy conference, on day three, they always have media lobbying meetings. They got around to all 535 congressional offices, all the senators and all the Congress people, either lawmakers themselves or key staff. Those arrangements are made way in advance. They're making arrangements now for next year. That's a big deal. We're going to set up one day where we're going to visit all those members of Congress. Melech Malchi Amlachim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the only power. And we get to meet with him three times a day. Your bar mitzvah, your mechuyav to do that. That's wild. Mavil. Yalla bar mitzvah karchayv l'islamei ketzav l'tnei Hashem. You're 13 years old, you have to know how to stand before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ketzav yish l'hachzik atzmav v'os osha. Eich l'geshes, eich l'yiparei. How should you approach HaKadosh Baruch Hu? How should you take leave of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? He called Nikar Tzal Kach Yisrael. I think a pasuk of prayer, the Gemara Shabbos quotes. The need to, the Gemara talks in the first bracket of Masechta Shabbos about dressing for davening. Different amram, different things. Some of them put on a special belt for davening, some of them put on special socks for davening, whatever it is. You put yourself together, business casual, you up how you're dressed for davening, that helps you to get in the zone. I'm about to meet with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Of course I'm going to straighten my tie. That's just warm up. Behikon, you're preparing likras elokecha to meet HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Doris harishonim hegiu b'shas hatfila lemadrega hakrova lenavua behispashus hagashmias. Earlier generations, they reached. This doesn't sound mainstream, shall we say? They reached extraordinary. They were meditating at an extraordinarily high level of meditation. Hispashus hagashmias. That's a very significant type of meditation. Krova lenavua. Where does that come from, by the way? It says that sounds like it's coming from a Kabbalah sefer. It's Rabbeinu Yonah and Brachas quoted in the Tur. It does not get more mainstream than that. That's how they interpret that famous Mishnah in Brachas about the Doris Rishonim. They would be shown Shoachas Lefnei Tefillah, Shoachas Achar Tefillah. They say that's this. That's an extraordinarily deep type of preparation. Again, this isn't, Sefer HaBahir, Sefer HaKana, Sefer HaZohar, Sefer Tznius. This is standard halachic literature. Now, the Torah doesn't say you're mechuyev to do that, but the Torah does say that's the ceiling that we're aiming for. But anu kiim ledargos ke'elu magia, we don't anticipate reaching a madrega close to Nevuah when we daven Shmon Esrei. But there's still an unbounded opportunity to rise, to grow during tefillah, during Shmon Esrei. Hamashkiya avod v'simas lei b'tefillah, so it's going to come if you're willing to invest in it, if you're willing to work on focus. And then Enos Daka Gaod L'rayos Alamuna says you can experience HaKadosh Baruch, something that the Rav talks about in a number of his writings. Something I think Rav Lifton talks writes about in one of his writings. The experience we spoke the other day about recognizing that our emunah is not only rational. It is rational, but it's more than that. Also, as with any relationship, it says the greatest opportunity that we have in the course of a typical day to relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Shmona Esrei. You sit down the Kadosh Baruch Hu. You stand with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hamizla made la modal fnei Hashem b'tfilaso birvosa etim yimtza b'libos heidiya v'adaz fnei mihu omer. If I train myself, if I habituate myself to stand before HaKadosh Baruch Hu when I daven, and that's a very loaded phrase. In other words, we all daven. And Rabbi Mendelssohn has pointed out the irony that, you know, if you want to say to learn something poorly very quickly, say to daven up the Gemara. It's a sad statement, a sorry statement about how we think about davening. That davening is davening up. But if I train myself to recognize that I am coming face to face with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then over time, that builds a relation with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Over time, it's more than just rational plausibility of the existence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I have a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But that goes back to something we've spoken about in the past. I have to train myself to be aware of what I'm doing. In half a line, there's a lot to say about the half a line. And it's beyond the scope right now. But in half a line, Reb Chaim talks about talks about a person who davens but is not aware of the fact that he's omer lefnei Hashem. He reads into the Rambam in the end of Perek Dalet, Halacha Tezvav Tezayin. Reb Chaim understands that's a misasik. It's like a Jew who walks around, the erev was down, and he has something in his pockets all Shabbos long. He didn't even realize he had something in his pockets. So it's not that he's a shogeg, that he knew he was carrying, but didn't realize it was an avit. He never knew there's a melacha of carrying. That's shogeg. He forgot it was Shabbos. That's a shogeg. No, he didn't know that he was carrying. He knew there's not a lot of carry. He had no idea something in his pocket. He was not aware of the action he was doing. That's a misasik. According to many, it's ki'ilu, you didn't do it. You're not cognizant of the act you're doing. It's a machlokas rebekeh v'nesivas. It may be that if I'm not aware of the thing, that what action I'm doing, it's as though I didn't do it. There's no cognition. There's nothing connecting the actor to the act. Reb Chaim says, I come to shul, I open a siddur. I know I came to shul. I know I'm reading from the siddur. I know that I am, quote unquote, davening. But I'm unaware of the fact that I'm talking to Kadosh Baruch Hu. So then it's like carrying and not realizing that you're carrying. You're unaware of the core activity that you're doing, because to daven is to be in the presence of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. That explains that maybe some other time. There are a lot of nafkaminas in that. Rari Le Pomeranchik and Makbracha is one nafkamina. And there are others, I think, also. It explains the fact that tefillah is extendable even after you're done with the 19 brachas. But if you keep Elokai Netzar, is in many ways a part of tefillah, even though it's not mandated, because you're continuing to be Omer Lefnei Hashem. It explains why Hikul Nikosval Kech Yisrael. It explains why there's more of a need for preparation for Shmona Esrei than for some other bracha. And how we dress, and washing hands, and so on and so forth. The standards are higher. It explains a lot. And it's going to come, as he indicated, through preparation. I think we spoke about it the other week. It's the 8 minute a month challenge. If I were to spend 5 seconds before I daven Shmona Esrei, considering the fact that I'm about to speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, about to be in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're always, Maloch HaLaretz Kavodo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was aware of us at all times, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was powering us in everything at all times, but we have a greater connectedness, a greater intimacy to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shmona Esrei. If I would just ponder that for 5 seconds, I'm about to talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu 3 times a day, you know, for a week, for a month. It's powerful stuff. It will grow on us. And then let's close out the parak. Ha'ina sheni shebetvila. What's the other kavana that Reb Chaim talks about? The one that we usually think about as kavana. Perish hamilus. Nusach ha'tvila, Shmona Esrei is not, tvila is not primarily about reciting. The essence of tvila is to be in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to meet with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The language or the text of tvila is the tool that we use, it's what we say, but it is a very ancient, holy, profound tool. Nusach HaTfila Tiknu Anshei Knesset HaGedola. The Gemara tells us, Ezra HaSofer, with the last Nevi'im, Gedola Do, 120 Zekanim, they've come back from Galus Bavel to rebuild Second Beis HaMikdash, and one of their key takanas It's the end of the period of the writing. We're talking about Purim time. This is at the very end of the period of the writing of Torah Shebichtav. At the very end of Nevuah, Chagai Zecharia Malachi. It's the period of time which the focus of Klal Yisrael's creative energy is shifting to Torah Shebaal Peh. And it's marked, among other things, by the plethora of Dinim Drabanan and Takanos that Ezra and the rest of Anshei Knesset Gedolah put together. And one of the leading Takanos was a formal Nosach HaTfilah. The Rambam assumes that daily Tfilah is a Chi of Daraisa. Rambam says for the first 1,000 years of national Jewish history, everyone davened. You said what you wanted to say. You ad-libbed. Maybe certain people had certain nuschos that they would use repeatedly, but everyone just davened extemporaneously. 1,000 years later, 1,000 years after Mount Torah, Ezra says we're going to have a universal minimal tefillah. Everyone can add as much as they want to Shemoneh Esrei, but everyone's going to say at the very least this core Shemoneh Esrei. These are who was writing this? Kasser Rabbeinu Hagrach Mivolajin. Reb Chaim Volozhiner, the founder of Volozhin Yeshiva, it's Rosh Yeshiva for the first half of the 1800s, the leading Talmud of the Vilna Gaon. Vilna Gaon is probably one of the greatest Mekubalim of the last 1,000 years, safe to say, during the last 500 years. Reb Chaim Volozhiner writes, Ki be'emet, let's appreciate, we say Shemoneh Esrei all the time. We started saying Shemoneh Esrei long before we knew who Ezra was. At that point, we first met Shemoneh Esrei, we knew it in the name Ezra because we had a classmate named Ezra, right? But now we have some inkling of who Ezra HaSofer was. Chagai, Zechariah, Malachi. So Chaim Volozhiner says, appreciate what's in your siddur. Be'emes ba'omek p'nimes kavanas ha'tfila ein yidani de'adma. To the true profundity of the kavana, of the language of Shemoneh Esrei, none of us, this is Chaim Volozhiner speaking, none of us has, we don't even have a seat at the table to understand that. Ki gamash nizgala lanu k'tsas kavanas ha'tfila rabbasein ha'rishonim. The little bit that has been revealed to us about some of the kavanas of the Nusach of Shemoneh Esrei, from the Rishonim Kadisha El Yonim, Ad Achron, all the way until a more recent Mekubal, Harav HaKadosh, Isha Lokim Nora HaArizal, Shehif Lihigdal Asas Kavanas Niflam. If you're familiar with Torah Sari, apparently it's full of kavanas, full of ideas to meditate on and focus upon in at different times of the day, different times of one's life, different mitzvahs, and particular Shemoneh Esrei, right? But still, all of that, Einam be'erach af ketipa min hayam, kla, k'neged, p'nimus, oma, kavanas, anshek, nesta, gadol, mesakne, atfil. Yes, Arizal was a great Mekubal. Yes, the Ramban was a great Mekubal. That's lovely. But compared to anshek, nesta, gadol, everything they could have taught us is a drop in the bucket. This is not me speaking, this is Rechav Elashim speaking. V'chal nevin yavin glasi inesh al yabeshta, sheyuchal esakin tikun nifla v'nar kazeh. If you're a thoughtful person, then you realize there's no man on earth, no man on dry land, who can misake in a tefila lichlovig nignoz matveya tefila tefila kavua sedur benisach echad to write a single nusach for Shemoneh Esrei that includes our human needs as well as all these Kabbalistic levels which he lists off. We can read the words. I can't really explain to what they mean because I don't know myself. Things that fix, so to speak, upper worlds and lower worlds, Sidre Pirkei HaMerkava, the different aspects of Maaser Merkava, which is the study of the inner meaning of the opening parak of Yechezkel, which is familiar to us as Haftarah for Shavuos. The first Mishnah and the second parak of Chagiga says that's one of the two major elements of Kabbalah. Okay, all about Malachim. Ostensibly, it's all about Malachim, Kisiyakov, but how things work in Shemayim. V'chol pam shemispalim yugram tikunim chadashim. And they built a Shemoneh Esrei that not only speaks to all these different levels, but works afresh every time you daven it. Shemeisha tiknuha ad bias hagoel b'meher v'yameinu. From the beginning of Takana of Shemoneh Esrei, the days of Ezra, until the Mashiach comes, lo haisa v'lo husiyah shum tfila b'fratus, fascinating. He says, Shemoneh Esrei is like a fingerprint. Very fascinating idea. I said, on a Kabbalistic, even though everyone's saying the same Nisach Shemar Esrei, okay, maybe different Eidot are saying slightly different, but essentially the same Nisach Shemar Esrei, you have thousands, millions of people reciting Shemar Esrei several times a day for a couple of thousand years, and yet each one is somehow distinct. Each one accomplishes something else mystically in terms of the impact it has in Shemayim. That's remarkable. That's maybe the Kabbalistic equivalent to the Nigla idea that he was developing at the beginning of the Perek, that even though we say, just in more practical terms, we say the Shem Shemon Esrei, but even though you might say the same Shemon Esrei now that you said 2 years ago, but if you're aware and alive and attuned to what you're saying, it's a different experience because you're different. So the Shemon Esrei is going to accomplish something differently. So that way you sort of understand the notion that the same Nusach Shemon Esrei can accomplish different things. We can understand intuitively on a non-Kabbalistic level. He says that perhaps is either expresses itself or is rooted in a certain mystical reality that the Anshei Knesset HaGadolah were so adept that they were able to write a Shemon Esrei that means a tremendous amount to us on a simple level, and at the same time is operating all sorts of higher Kabbalistic levels, and I don't know how the mechanics work, but operates uniquely each time. It has a unique impact. Each person in Shemon Esrei, each time you say Shemon Esrei, has a unique mystical impact. That hasn't happened before, it's not going to happen again. Again, as I was saying before, we can appreciate that on a non-Kabbalistic level. That the same Shemon Esrei could do different things in terms of our understanding of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. So he closes with the following. Hasidur hu at sefer ha'amok v'akasha b'yotzi mikol svarim shebetar shuvapeh she'in chilun rabaseinu chazal. Appreciate that the Siddur, the way he puts it, it's the deepest and most difficult of all the works of Torah Shebaal Peh that Chazal have given us. Included in that is first recognized the Siddur is a work of the Torah Shebaal Peh. And so many have, now we're all thinking about the Moreshet of the Rav, looking back 25 years later. So one thing I've heard from Schechter many times, the Rav took the Siddur and brought it into the Beis Medrash. And so many of the Yortzei Tshiurim had to do with davening, and the dinim of davening, and the lumness of the dinim of davening. And all of a sudden, you look at the details, and you have a kasha, and a stir, and a rambam, and it's difficult taisis, and then all of a sudden, you have, from the detail problems, come grand new vistas, and broad, deep insights. And all of a sudden, you realize there's so much going on in the Siddur. Do you repeat for Atachanantan? Do you not repeat for Atachanantan? Do you have to go back? You left the Yav Yavo? Yes, no, maybe Tashlumin. Seems like such details. All of a sudden, it becomes major, major issues. As has been said about the Rav, both that he took the. Apparently, the Rav said about his grandfather of Chaim, that my grandfather took the Bas B'Chalav out of the. Took Yaradeya out of the pots and pans and brought it into the Beis Medrash. That people hadn't appreciated the profundity of Lumdus that's at work in Bas B'Chalav and Tairovas in many ways. The Rav Chaim gave a new sense of appreciation for that. And the Rav himself, it's been said that he took the Siddur, brought the Siddur into the Beis HaMedrash. That's a revolve of the same. You have to realize the Siddur is a work of, a profound work of Torah Shebaal Peh. He argues the most profound. Ein lanu ela hispalel. Now, at the same time, you're like, that's really beautiful and lovely, but I'm not a Kabbalist. So how does this help you? He says, it helps you even if you're not able to fully access it. Because you can access it even if you don't fully understand it. What we need to do, if we're not Mekubalim, we need to daven. And it's not just something to happen today, this week, this month. Over the course of years, to have a goal, to have a vision for myself, over the next 5-10 years, I want to daven carefully. B'mesinus. B'mesinus doesn't mean slowly, but it means deliberately, without rushing. B'hizbonus meruba, with plenty of thought, with plenty of self-reflection. And very important, he says, beware of external excitement that has no internal thoughts. Don't fall into the trap of letting shuckling compensate for thinking. So that's just going to drive you further away from real davening. Because if you think now that I'm davening really well because I'm shuckling, but really nothing's going on inside your mind or heart, you're only making things worse. Because now you still don't have a profound inner life during tefillah, and now you think that you're good. He says, no. If you want to shuck a lot, shuck a lot. You don't want to shuck a lot, don't shuck a lot. Shefter telling me that he was, when he was a bacher here in YU, so there were a number of elder Rashi Yeshiva, European Rashi Yeshiva, who I believe had come with Amir through Shanghai to America. He said a number of them he never really learned with. He never heard shiur from them, but his davening was permanently impacted by watching the way they davened. And he said they didn't, that it was very lassadic. The davening was very, physically very calm, but you could see that there was intense focus, that their minds were elsewhere when they were davening. So some people, you know, Shavua is a discussion, to shakel, not to shakel. That's a different drachem, nahar pashte. You want to shakel up and down, side to side, or not at all. But either way, the essence is what's going on inside. The chovos halavavos. What's going on in the pnimius of my davening? And again, we're not talking about deep, profound kabbalistic kavanas. Just with focus. Well, that doesn't have to be slow, but without rushing. There's no rush. To focus, to think about the fact I'm talking to Kadosh Baruch Hu. To consider some of the ideas that I'm saying. Ein liris betzvila aruka maisa tzidkas. He says, but it's not about the shuckling. It's not about a longer davening. It's not in and of itself a holy act. He says, ein ze doma el talmud shetalmudo kasher lav. Imagine a fellow who's, some people have an easier time learning Gemara, some people have a more difficult time learning Gemara. That's not a new reality. The Gemara itself talks about that. Talmud shetalmudo kashalav, that's a Talmudic phrase. A Talmud who finds learning Gemara difficult. So if someone finds learning Gemara difficult, so it may take me longer. I'm going to need to pound away and focus and work hard until I finally figure out, work through the Gemara. Is that better? Is that worse? That's what I need to do. If I want to succeed, if it comes quickly, it comes quickly. If it goes slowly, it goes slowly. I'm working to get it done. So says davening also. It doesn't have to be slow. For some people, it's going to take longer to work your way through Shmoneh Esrei, to retain focus. It's not about length. It's not about brevity. It's not about shuckling. It's not about not shuckling. Those are not the point. The point is what's within. And then he closes, Matov lehisragel espalel mitoch sidr davka, uchedai la'ayin b'sidr agor ha'nigla, l'ubim mitoch ho'peh v'shamilis. He suggests his closing idea, he spoke before about kavanas and about kavana in the sense of the simple but profound kavana of being aware of the fact you're talking to Kadosh Baruch Hu before you begin Shema Esrei. He says, it would be a lovely idea, not a chiyuv, but it would be a lovely idea as you seek to, over the course of the next decade of your life. Imagine that. One of my goals from now until I get married. One of my goals now until I get married is to see that over time my davening becomes increasingly focused, increasingly profound. Whether it's whatever it looks like externally, doesn't really matter. Whatever works, works. But I'm zoning in over time. He says, you might find a sitter very helpful. Different people are different. But you might find that davening within might help you to get in the zone, to stay in the zone. And then he suggests the sitter ha-gra ha-nigla, gra ramotel perisham of the sitter. He has kabbalistic kavanas, which he's not recommending, but he also has a nigla, lumen mitocho perisham ilus. To explain what's going on, not only to look inside so you're focused on the words, but to have something that explains you the meaning. So whether the sitter ha-gra works for you best for kavanas perisham ilus, whether some other parish, I think often people, I sometimes find using a sitter as a translation, even if your Hebrew is fine, but if your Hebrew is not native, it still is eino doma. If there's, you often read lines that you've said 100 times, you see it, one line of English, and all of a sudden it just sort of hits you in a way that you sort of knew that's what it meant, but still doesn't hit you in the way that it does when you see your native tongue. But to find whatever sort of sitter you need, and you may even rotate through different sitterim over time. It's not every sitter you need that will help you to appreciate kavanas pirush hamilus, and certainly to be aware of what you're doing and the profundity of the meaning that you're having with the Kaddish.